Welcome to episode 73 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 16th and the 20th of December 2013.
It's nearly Christmas.
Yay!
This is going to be our last podcast episode before Christmas.
What am I going to get?
What for?
What's my present?
I'm not telling you.
I got all your presents. How many have you bought for me?
One. This is the first year, possibly ever, that I've bought Gemma a present. She's got no idea what it is, and she's been trying to find out what I've got her. But it's a secret.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's all right. No, it's...
You tell me it wasn't very good.
No, it's not that good. You'll see. You'll find out.
How much did it cost?
I'm not telling you.
That's how you can work out whether it was good or not.
I'm not telling you how much it cost. Just have to wait and see. So, happy Christmas to all our listeners.
You got the receipt?
No, I didn't have a receipt.
I'll read it on the receipt how much it costs.
Happy Christmas to all our listeners. Hope you're having a lovely time. I broke up for Christmas holidays today, so I'm in a good mood. Feeling happy.
And we've got lots of chocolate now.
Yes, yeah, lots of chocolate.
That's the only benefit of being a teacher.
Yeah, get lots of chocolate on the last day of term. Brilliant. Right, let's do some choir history for this week.
40 years ago, Stan and Hilda met their son Trevor's family for the first time, including their grandson, Damien, who turned out to be the ruler of the Overlord. I mean, the underworld.
The ruler of it. Yeah, exciting stuff. Not really, of course.
20 years ago, since Terry made an agreement with the Hortons to buy Tommy.
Ooh, Christmas.
Not
Christmas.
Tim
evil.
Hortons.
What?
That's a Canadian thing.
I understand. That is very famous storyline. Christmas storyline, 1983.
If you're Canadian, you write in and tell Michael what you think about
Tim Hortons.
I think so.
I don't know what it is. 15 years ago, since Jackie and Tyrone started squatting at number 7, and also 15 years ago, Kevin told Sally that he wanted a divorce.
Beginning of the end.
5 years ago, since, hang on a minute, Peter turned up drunk at Simon's nativity play.
What?
That seems to ring a bell. That
seems
awfully
familiar.
Yes, that is right. We've recycled yet another storyline from 5 years ago, coming straight on the heels of Carly getting married 5 years ago. Now they've got this Christmas nativity storyline. I do have to admit, I rolled my eyes a bit when I saw that this was going to be happening.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Like,
you've ruined it for everybody.
They must have had, like, in the last 5 years, at least three of them, there's been Christmas storylines, and then there's been these... either people turning up drunk, or people having arguments, or people giving birth during the nativity play.
Yeah,
nothing like that happens at my school nativity play.
No, doesn't it?
No.
Oh.
Wish it would, it'd be quite exciting.
I thought that's the kind of thing that happens.
No.
I've been led to believe something different.
Do you think that Brian should have had tonight as his last episode?
Because of course he should.
Apart from the fact that he didn't give adequate notice to leave as a teacher, and also he left 2 days before the end of term, why would he do that? I think it would have been a more exciting kind of ending for him if he left during this nativity play and he, like, it was all going kicking off and he, like, was, like, shaking his head and was like, thank goodness I'm out of this.
Or he could have just gone, I'm out of here.
I quit, that's enough. Yeah. I thought it was very suspect how he just left in the middle of the week. But
yeah,
anyway.
It's not a normal job that you can just go and leave.
That's enough of that. Yeah, so we'll talk about more of that later. Also, off screen, happy birthday to Nicholas Cochrane, who played Andy MacDonald, who is 40 this week.
Well, I've spotted a problem then with him being the twin of...
Why?
Because they weren't born on the same day, so it's wrong.
I don't know how old Simon Gregson is. Is he the same age? I guess he must be, probably.
Who would know?
I don't know. But yeah, that is also the same age as Katie Kavanagh. She had her 40th the other week, didn't she?
Aww. Do you think we have to bring
back Andy and he can be Julie's new man.
Yes, why not?
There we go.
I think so.
Yeah. Right, so that is our introduction to the show.
I still think Brian was perfect. Anyway, we're ruining it.
Yes. Let's talk about that when we get to it with Street Talk. Street Talk. We've had 5 main storylines so far this week. I say so far because the week's not properly over, is it? We've got an episode on Sunday that's coming up that was clearly meant to be the second half of Friday's episode, but because of this tech Santa thing that's happened tonight.
We're ruining the magic.
Yeah. We have only got 4 episodes to talk about, so this may end up being a bit shorter this week. But we've had David Platt We've had his plat-out storyline. He's Donna's definitely wheedling his way back in now, though. Peter and Carlo are back off honeymoon already. I would have thought that they would have had maybe a bit longer. They didn't even have 2 weeks on honeymoon.
Well, Carlo's a professional, busy businesswoman. Yeah. And also, she left Sally in charge. She's got to get back as soon as possible.
We didn't see any of Sally running the factory particularly, did we?
Well, we saw one scene.
Yeah. Yet another wasted opportunity for Coronation Street this year, unfortunately. Pack him off is going to be the third storyline that we talk about. He is packed off and he's out, and that's the last we see of him. Sad. Tanner's Got Talent is still carrying on. He had got the. I was all ready to see this concert with what's his face, Richie, today, and then we never got to see that, so I guess that's going to be Sunday. And Hayley's Christmas cheer and misery. Pathos. Sad stuff. But also Roy's driving test as well.
I
have to wait 2 days to find out whether he's passed that. So
imagine if you had to wait that long in real life. It'd kill me.
Well, I had to wait like about a year and a half in between my first driving test and my last driving test to find out that I passed.
I told you right away. Like, can you just drive us back to the testing place immediately because you've failed?
Yeah, it did take me 7 attempts to pass my driving test. Hopefully it's not going to be quite so bad for Roy.
And that is... In case you wondered, listeners, that is a reflection on his current ability.
So let's start talking about the plat-out storyline, where what happened last week? We've got the first thing on our notes on Monday's episode. Kylie staggers in. Thanks, Gail, for covering for her. I can't remember at all how it ended last week.
I don't remember. I don't listen to the podcast once we do them.
Gail is... For most of this week, she's just getting her opinion on Kylie is getting lower and lower. Back to, didn't we say in last week's podcast we wouldn't be surprised if Gail kind of dropped Kylie?
Well, I said I'm surprised she likes her.
Yeah, because she never liked her, really. She had to learn to like her. Gail's not been happy. Gail's been depressed on her sofa. Even that lovely pink leopard skin sofa wasn't enough to cheer her up. Gail's like, that's enough of that. Gives her a good talking to.
Well, she says, look, everyone's going to have a family discussion and we're going to sort this out once and for all. So Leanne goes and tells Nick he's just as thrilled as Kylie about this idea. And, everybody waits when the meeting begins for Kylie to turn up. Nick is getting incredibly stressed and saying it's a waste of time. And Audrey has to persuade Kylie to come in from the bench because she's sitting outside being miserable.
Yeah, yet again, Audrey being kind of the one voice of reason.
Yeah.
Being able to look at it
from the outside.
Yeah.
I guess in some ways that's what she is, though, isn't she? Because she doesn't live on the street with the rest of them, so maybe she can be a bit more.
Yeah. She's much better than Rita, I think, at giving those wise words. Rita's just a horrible
Rita's
old lady
gone wrong
at the moment, yeah.
Well, when they all have this meeting, David says, look, I know we can't be back together, but can I at least be a dad to Lily and Max?
Yeah, shockingly, Nick agreed to that because he says he lost his chance to be a father to Simon and he wouldn't wish that on his worst enemy, even if he is my brother.
Ooh.
Do you think that Nick really cares that much about being a father to Simon?
He's never given me that impression.
No, I mean,
maybe when he came out, he sort of had amnesia and they cut that bit out and they said to him, Nick, you're a brilliant father to Simon, but he doesn't actually like you, and you're also incredibly grumpy and moody. So if you could just live up to that, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, the way I see it, with Nick and Leanne, I think he'd probably prefer it if Simon wasn't
around.
He's like a bit of an inconvenience.
Although he's not as bad as Carla.
Yeah.
He kind of is along those same lines. He's not a kiddie person, is he?
No, I wouldn't say that Nick particularly sees Simon as a replacement son or this...
Or a son.
Or a son particularly.
No.
But anyway,
moving on.
Yeah, Kylie. It works on Kylie anyway. She gives in, and she says, "Yeah, as long as David's not alone with the children or with her in the house,
he pays for.
Why doesn't she want him to be alone with them? Do you think
she's just trying to retain a bit of power, isn't she? I think.
Mm. So Wednesday, then David comes around and sees Lily. Gail says, oh, can you look after them while I go shopping? So straight away, she's going against Kylie's wishes by leaving David on.
Well, she says, look, David's like, well, you better check with Kylie first. And she's like, no, Kylie, got to learn that you're the dad, so you've got certain rights.
Yeah.
So he's there playing around with Max, and he's got the costume that Max is going to wear at the nativity play, and he's got it on his head, and he's shown yet again that he's quite a good father. Up until...
I know, I really like seeing David and Max playing together. David, he's brilliant with him.
He's a good father up until the point when he gets distracted by an upgrade on his phone. He's phoning up his phone company and he wants to know when he can get a new handset.
I was going to say he was a good father until he let Max open a Christmas present a week early.
That is also incredibly wrong because he's just going to be disappointed on Christmas when he doesn't have so many presents.
I know. Bad parenting there.
So, yeah, Max has been pestering him all day. Can I open a present early? And David finally gives in because he wants to distract Max while he's on the phone. And when he turns around...
Kylie comes in, of course.
And not only is she mad that David's there without her permission and alone with the children, but he's also let Max open the main Christmas present.
Yeah.
Now, Max is a git because he obviously knew that was the one. Kids always know which is their main present, don't they? I always knew. Did you know?
I think so. Usually the biggest one, isn't it? David, if he was going to let Max open a present early, he should have at least just let him open one of his presents.
I know. Well, Kylie's like, why did you let him open my present? He's like, I was on the phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So Kylie got in a bit of a mood with David and says, right, you're not coming to the nativity anymore.
Yep, that's it.
And then on Friday, she decided she's not going to go either.
Which we missed. I don't really understand why.
No, we kind of missed the beginning of the episode. I'm getting mightily fed up with Kylie at the moment. I've never really taken a shine to her like a lot of people have anyway, but... Not enjoying her.
It also says here, Kylie's allowing David to go and she's going to go as well.
Yeah, she...
When did that happen?
It was when you were drinking mulled wine and you weren't really paying attention. There was that scene in the salon where, again, Audrey is saying, look, I can't believe she can't tell you're not allowed to go to the nativity. And then Kylie comes in and says, well, he manages to convince her.
Okay.
So, yeah, David is allowed to go to the nativity, thank goodness.
Well... Both of them are going to go to the nativity, but Kylie's a bit late because she's in the Rovers getting drunk and just saying horrible things about Tina and Tina having an affair with David, if only she knew. Tina kicks her out and she staggers off towards the school.
But she doesn't quite make it in time because Tina beats her to it. So she's there at the school telling David about what's happened to Kylie and then, comes in. Little worse
Kylie
for
comes
wear.
In.
Kylie comes in.
Staggers into a Christmas tree, wanders down the... Central Isle.
Yeah.
Starts shouting at David, causing a scene in the middle of Little Donkey, everyone's favourite.
They did actually make reference to the fact that this isn't the first time this has happened, because doesn't Simon lean over to Max and say, oh, it's all right, this happens every year.
Yeah, exactly. the teacher tries to kick her out, and so Kylie decides that she's going to remove Max as well, and they're both going to go home, and that's where we leave it.
Yeah, what a cliffhanger.
Can't wait to find out what happens.
What is going to happen?
I don't know.
Is it going to break up the nativity? I find it difficult to care really about that.
I would love it if I went to a nativity and that happened.
I know, all the other parents there were like going, oh, you're ruining it. I'll do that again. Oh, it's exciting.
Yeah, I guess if your sweet child is up there, big and fabulous singer, and you also made a nice costume, you might be a bit annoyed, but...
Yeah. Do you think that there's going to be a Christmas reunion between Kylie and David? Because they're organising this Christmas party at the bistro for Wednesday.
Do you think it's going to be a funny one or a tragic?
What, the Christmas episode in general? Part of the storyline.
Their part of the storyline. Because I think, isn't Hayley's going to be tragically heartwarming?
Yeah, I think Hayley's will be kind of nice.
No, but also really, really sad.
Sad, but yeah, bittersweet.
So they're going to...
There's got to be a comedy part of it.
So I think it would be quite funny to have the Platts throwing mince pies at each other.
Yeah, that could be good.
Should I phone them up and tell them? I've got an idea for the Christmas episode.
It's too late.
Oh.
What I didn't like about this storyline the most was the fact that the school decided to have their nativity play on the last day of term. If I was a teacher at that school, I'd be like, oh, can we have it a bit earlier? Because we had our nativity last week. When it's the last day of term, I don't want to be fussing, worrying about concerts and staying behind after school and opening up late. I want to get home, put my feet up, and that is it for the end of term.
It just further proves that whoever writes the scripts for Coronation Street not only doesn't know a teacher, but can't be bothered to find out anything about how schools actually run. I'm starting to suspect that's not even how you make knickers in the factory.
We wouldn't know, though.
I think it's all a lie. Do you know what I think? I think these days they probably use machines to make them.
Yeah,
not ladies on sewing machines. No.
Well, equally unbelievable this week has been Tina, who is now chasing after Rob.
Yeah, another. No, don't ruin it. You're supposed to lead into it.
Somebody. Chasing after somebody.
Who could it be? Literally, could be anyone.
Yeah.
With trousers, and I'm including several females in that one as well, because you know what she's like.
Well, Carl and Peter are back from their honeymoon.
Already.
Yeah. And Tina doesn't. Isn't he like ignoring her most of the day? Tina's like stalking him.
No, he's he's popping off going, no, my marriage is more important. I don't want to hear from you, really. And Tina's hearing about when everyone comes in at lunchtime, all the factory girls and Carla, she's talking about how she had a great time on honeymoon, and Tina's not happy about it at all. She keeps trying to phone Peter up. And Peter keeps getting these calls, and Carla's like, who is it? And eventually she sends Peter home early. And when she gets home, Peter looks really sad and says, oh, the honeymoon was just a dream.
Yeah, we then kind of see a little bit more in that storyline of Rob and Tracy, who the writers have decided that they're going to
split up,
what it looks like. I thought that they've been working quite well as a couple so far this year, but it seems that Rob is tiring of her now, to suit this storyline.
It was, really a toss-up between which one would cheat on the other one first, really,
wasn't
it?
But he is getting very cosy with Tina over the bar, and throughout that episode and later on that week, Peter's kind of glaring at Tina and Rob, kind of
being nice to each other.
Yeah, and didn't you say on that episode, she's going to end up with Rob now?
Yeah.
It's obvious that that's going to happen.
Peter and Carla are getting friendly with one another in a way that only married couples do. Children, if you're listening, ask your parents. That'll be a funny conversation. But Tina rings on the doorbell, and they have to come down and answer it. And
shocking cliffhanger at the end of Monday's episode. Peter has got no top on.
What?
But it's all right. Tina managed to make up some kind of cover story for while she was around there.
She obviously went round there to talk to Peter because she didn't know that Carla was home or something.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't really understand. But yeah, she pretends that someone was throwing stones at Carla's car, which I suspect Grace. But no, it's fictional.
I think Grace is gone now.
Do you?
Yes. I don't know. I think they've just given up on that storyline. Yeah. So she gets invited in and they start to talk about Simon. So that's how she gets out of that one. And then we see go to the pub later. And Carla has brought Tina a present for chasing after these children. Which is
it a caftan or a sarong?
Something like that. They were making the jokes on that Monday's episode about Peter wearing a sarong on holiday. I think we need to see those pictures.
Yeah. But why is that not a special website extra?
So this is when Peter is kind of eyeing Tina and Rob laughing together, and he's not happy. And even Michelle notices this, and Carla's obviously completely oblivious to everything that's happening, saying, oh yeah, Tina and Rob, that he could do worse than her.
Yeah, exactly. Already has, hasn't he? So Peter then confronts Tina, and she's annoyed at him because he's ignored her all day long. And he says, look, they need to try and forget about it.
Yeah, this is in the smoking
shelter at the end of the episode. And they do a little thing where they rub their noses together, but Peter says they can never be. Mm. And tells her to stay away.
Yeah, obviously he does still have feelings for her.
Yeah, well, he didn't make it easy for her to leave him alone. I think he was trying to lead her on slightly. Yeah. And make it not his fault, 'cause that's what Peter does. He causes problems and then pretends it wasn't his fault.
Yes.
So, on Wednesday, he goes and asks Tina if she can still look after Simon over Christmas. And she's like, I don't think so. I'm not doing you any favours. You've basically ruined my life now because all I can think about is your sweet lips.
Yeah, and then that episode is revolving around Rob and Tina in the storyline, isn't it? Because he's now talking about having an argument with Tracy about who should go off to a business meeting. So Tracy's all off businessing it up. In the meantime, Rob follows Tina out to the smoking shelter, proves that he's not
a mummy's boy.
And then they end up snogging.
And Carla walks in on them.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. I mean,
it set up on Monday, but
we said that Tina and Peter came out of nowhere, but at least they gave like at least two or three good weeks of a run out there.
Didn't they?
But this has Tina showed any interest in Rob before, or I guess she's mostly just on the rebound from Peter. Okay, I don't think she really.
No, she doesn't really fancy him. She's just trying to annoy Peter. Yeah. But let's put it like this, okay? All the run-up they did with Peter and Tina, did it make a difference to whether we appreciated the relationship blooming or not?
Oh, I didn't know.
No, it didn't. So they might as well just jump in the deep end and pair up anyone they like, just on a whim.
It's a Stuart Blackburn, what's he doing?
Urgh.
So, Carla, I did like Carla's reaction.
Carla's completely loved up on cloud nine this week. I'm loving her.
Yeah.
She's like, Oh, you'll never guess who I saw kissing in the smoker shelter.
She was kind of half embarrassed. She was very embarrassed. She was like, oh, I'll just let you get on with it.
Yeah.
But she couldn't
wait to tell Peter.
Yeah, she couldn't wait to tell. I thought that was quite sweet that she wanted to tell him. But Peter is obviously, he's angry at Tina, but he makes out that it's because it seems that Rob is cheating on his sister. It's all very inbred, isn't it?
Yeah,
everyone's going out with their brothers and sisters and everything on this program.
He's mad about it and Carla just thinks it's funny.
Yes.
On Friday, Carla tells Tina that her secret is safe and she's not going to tell anybody that she was kissing Rob. But Tina's like, oh no, it was nothing, don't worry about it. And then at the nativity, Peter tells Tina to stay away from Rob.
Yeah, he just says, I can't believe you, Rob.
You sunk too low.
Yeah.
And she says, it's none of your business, actually. Mm.
So do you think anything will develop further between Tina and Rob, or was it just like a mild distraction it's going to go back to Tina and Peter?
I think that what now is going to happen is Rob's going to be smitten because she's the hottest woman in soap.
She's the sexiest female.
Yeah. So he's going to be smitten with her and he's going to start hassling her and saying, oh, he's going to leave Tracy. And she's not really interested in him. So he's going to be going on, oh, let's make a relationship. She's going to say, no, no, I don't want you. Then Peter is going to have a fight with him.
We said that there was no build-up, but, I mean, Tina and Tracy have been at loggerheads for a few months, I guess, on and off. So this is just going to add more fuel to that fire.
I've never kissed a man because I was mad at his girlfriend.
That's because you're not a soap character. I feel sorry for Tracy.
That is probably the most controversial thing you've ever said on this podcast.
I quite like Tracy, really.
I quite like her.
And the thing with...
I like her being in it. I've got no issue with her being in it at all.
And she actually does love Rob, doesn't she? She admitted as much to Deirdre a couple of months ago that, like, she thinks that he's the one.
Does she really know what love is, though? She's a heartless monster. Who knows what she's done with Amy?
Mm. Oh, speaking of Deirdre, glad to hear that she's back from Canada today. Yes, Carla, that's why she wasn't at the nativity today. She was gone to get Deirdre from the airport.
Oh, sorry, I was drinking mulled wine.
We didn't get to see Deirdre, but I hope that the fact that she's back in time for Christmas means we should get some comedy Christmas scene. Although, to be fair, Christmas at the Barlows won't be the same without Blanche making digs about Deirdre's dry turkey. Ken there kind of...
muttering behind his paper or something.
It's
going to be there?
Christmas for
Tracy, Rob,
maybe. Yeah, it could still be good. I hope we get to see Deirdre.
Deirdre's cooking.
Come on, Deirdre.
I've made you some turkey.
Here's
a pot. I made it myself.
Pack him off. He's off.
He's sad. Gone. That's it.
I'm really gutted that they wrote him out. We're doing Brian as our character profile later today, so we'll talk more about it then. But what did you think about how he was sent off, apart from unbelievability of him going 2 days before the end of term? Good send-off?
No, not really. Could have been funnier. Could have been more memorable. I don't know why they don't give them more memorable endings. It's like the writer's like, right, finish this character, just get rid of him.
When characters on Coronation Street decide they're leaving, they do...
Just
leave pretty quickly. I'm glad that they had the little scene in the bistro between him and Julie, though, because she was like, that goodbye scene was quite teary, wasn't it? And she's like, she realises she can do better than him. But anyway, well, let's go back to Monday. So,
she's with Eileen, isn't she, Julie? She's living with Eileen or staying with her and she collapses dramatically saying she's going to emerge.
That was really funny, actually. Wasn't she there with Sean and Todd saying, oh, I can do it, I can stand up, I'll be a strong, independent woman. And then Eileen comes in and...
She goes, oh!
Yeah, because Eileen's just come back from holiday somewhere, didn't she?
Is she?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's been away somewhere.
Brian, meanwhile, is off with his confidant, Marcus, saying he's messed up and... I should have told her what I felt instead of hiding it. What am I going to do? Marcus says, well, give it one more shot. Tell her how you feel. Maybe you can win her back. So he apologises to Eileen in front of...
To Julie
in front of Eileen, Todd and Sean. But she says, just leave me alone. And they've been doing a brilliant... She's been doing a brilliant job, hasn't she?
Eileen? Or Julie?
Julie, looking sad and... she's one... That actress is incredible at looking defeated. And I think half of it is her hair.
What do you mean?
Well, she usually has her hair up in a giant sort of puffy beehive, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
But she has it down in a low ponytail when she's sad.
Yeah.
So if only I could do something like that with my hair to warn you off. Like, I'm mad. Maybe I should back comb it a bit.
Well, we saw that that was then followed by the scene in the bistro, because Brian was in the bistro, and wasn't Eileen and Judy just going to go there for a drink, and then they spot each other there, so Eileen's like, fine, I'll leave you to it. So they have some sad goodbyes. Judy says, it's not over because I want more, it's because we both shouldn't settle for less.
Oh, that's probably the nicest way to break up with somebody, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? I don't know.
Brian did come off looking pretty bad by the end of this, because because everything that he was saying about calculating how much of the house that he pays for on Wednesday's episode.
On Wednesday's episode, he goes around and he says, "Who wants to live there? Do you want to live there?" And she says, "No. Well, I haven't decided." And he says, "Well, if you do, don't forget we've got a mortgage. You've paid in 30 something. I've paid in this amount." The deposit, blah, blah, blah. So I'll do the sums.
He's been very practical about the breakup. And Julie's just more invested.
Julie's like, I haven't eaten.
In her heart.
How could you be thinking about money at a time like this? It's like, well,
people
cope
with breakups in different ways. And I think from what we've seen of Brian, he's absolutely just as devastated as Julie is. I mean, going over to it and he's been spilling his heart out to Marcus. He's just...
different.
Yeah.
We're all different.
It's just, yeah, like Roy, he reacts to things in different ways.
Well, once he tells her, look, I've worked out some sums and I can let you have a look at my maths, she says, I'm glad you told me that because this makes it very easy for me to say goodbye to you because all you care about is the practical side of things and you don't care that we've broken up.
Slams the door in his face and off he tootles in his van.
2 days before the end of town.
Yeah. So that was sad.
Sometimes do you wish you could just get in a van and drive away from school?
No.
To return?
No, my school's really? Lovely.
You don't like vans, that's why, isn't it?
We found out that Brian was leaving when? February, January time?
Every single time he's in a seat, he was in a storyline, we're like, is this how he's going to leave?
Yeah, because we never had any idea about when he would leave, and he's had quite a long period since that was broken. But. It's kind of sad
to think that he's never going to be a memorable character, even though he's really enjoyed seeing him in it. In 5 years' time, if you say to me, oh, and 5 years ago was when Brian Packham left, I'd be like,
who?
Huh?
Yeah, he could have been so much more. But at least he didn't get murdered, so he could come back if he gets sick of Wales.
What would you rather do? Have like a miserable exit and no real hope of return, but possibly you could. Or get murdered or killed in a dramatic way and know you could never come back?
If I was an actor in it.
If you were a middling character that nobody cared about.
I guess it depends whether you quit or whether you get sacked and
do they ever sack someone and then give them a really dramatic exit?
Oh,
they don't, do they?
I'm sure they do.
I think you get... No, I don't. I think you usually get sacked because you're rubbish.
No, I can't remember who gets sacked or who leaves on their own accord. But he was sacked and he had a boring exit.
Yep, he went off in a van, although it was in a van and not a taxi.
Yeah, just to shake
Which
it up
does
a
mean
bit.
That if there's a future montage of taxi exits, he's not going to be in that.
Right, Dennis Tanner. Let's talk about him for a bit. So he's got this concert that he was organising for tonight that we never really got to see very much of. Basically, this week's the storyline with this is basically boiling down to him and Gloria are getting closer.
Yeah.
And Rita is there giving them evils.
Yeah, nagging, saying, bringing them all down and saying it's rubbish.
Well, yeah, what has got into Rita? I'm not surprised that Dennis is kind of wanting to spend more time with Gloria because she's really supporting him on all this, and Rita's just
raining on his
parade.
Don't get too excited, it's boring. Stella does warn Gloria off of Dennis, and Gloria is all self-love because she says, oh, okay, I'll bet if I'm more exciting than her ladyship.
I think that Gloria and Dennis are make quite a nice couple at the moment.
I think they'd be dangerous together, don't you?
Why?
Because they're too similar. They get in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I can just imagine them running up and down the street giggling, doing like... throwing bricks through windows.
Naughty old people.
Yeah. I think I'd like to quite be a naughty old person.
Well, maybe you'll have your chance
one
day.
Well, I do, hopefully.
Really nothing else happened in that, did it? I'm just looking at the notes and Rita's told Dennis that if it all goes wrong,
Everyone, all the old people will think he's stupid.
Yeah, I don't particularly believe in that, because like you said the other day to me, if you go to a concert and it turns out rubbish, you don't say, who organised this? Who's this people's manager? You blame the artist. So.
Or the venue at the most obscure. That would be the most obscure I'd get with it.
Yeah.
You're not going to start being like, this is the state of the industry these days. What kind of culture have we made? You'd just be like, this is boring, bang, let's go.
Mm.
Let's go down the chippy.
But, so from what we saw of the concert, it was going relatively well. Norris didn't like it. He had the first few strums of the guitar.
Did they actually start it? I wasn't listening.
You really didn't pay much attention to today's episode, did you?
Snooze.
Yeah, they started playing and Norris is like, oh, I've had enough of this, I'm not staying. But Rita...
Yeah, but you forgot to mention...
What?
Oh, I've got to mention it.
Go on then.
Fashion section.
Oh, Dennis is today.
Dennis is me, look. He was wearing a leather jacket. You've written a leather hat. Who was drunk?
Sorry. Leather jacket.
A plaid scarf, which is nice black and white. It's very monochrome. And you think it was a pork pie hat.
I don't really know. We don't
think it was just a hat. It wasn't a fedora.
No.
It was just a black hat. And it was a whole new look for Dennis. What did you think?
I thought he looked good in it. I thought he suited it.
I thought he would have looked better if he hadn't been wearing it in that context. If he'd always worn that, I don't think I'd really care. But it would look too much like, look at me, I'm cool.
He's recapturing his youth.
Do you think that's what... I just thought the clothes of his youth would have been like knee socks.
So, do you think that this... What's going to happen with this storyline? Is it literally there's going to be the concert that's going to happen on Sunday and then that's it? Because it's been a bit of a damp squib, really. I've not really enjoyed this.
If they're going to end it, which they must surely be ending it soon, the storyline...
There's not very much theme left in it.
No, they're just going to have to end it in chaos, aren't they? And that would be why he won't continue with his organisational skills.
I wonder whether Gloria and Dennis could have an affair together, because as much as I hate affair storylines, you don't see it very much with older couples, do you?
It would be funny, wouldn't it?
A little secret affair.
Not funny, don't belittle old people.
It could happen. It could be...
I think it'd be quite interesting. Why the hell not?
Yeah. Old people.
Everyone else gets to.
Old people can be naughty
have
too.
Have affairs. They're gonna throw bricks through windows. They should be having some kind of bedroom action.
That's what you want. Hayley. Oh,
sad.
He's got his Roy as well. He's got his driving test today, didn't we? We didn't get to find out whether he passed it, but things were looking good because he didn't run over that cat, and he did a nice emergency stop.
Well, you've just explained everything that happened on Friday.
Yeah, that was that story. Nothing really happened, did it? He had his driving test and they put up a Christmas tree.
The only other thing that happened, apart from that, where it seemed as though Roy was doing all right in his driving test, was Roy worrying about having his driving test for the rest of the week, and Hayley decorating the Christmas tree with a toilet roll angel that Hope had made. And Roy had concerns about imposing the Judeo-Christian symbolism on their decoration.
That was quite
which
funny.
Which appeared to be purely secular. And Hayley says, I love Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was very poignant, because you know that's her last one.
That's gonna be her last Christmas.
At least she knew it was her last one. Yeah. And at least she was well enough to kind... She looked a bit ill and she wanted her pain pills before she could have them. But at least she was well enough...
Yeah, but do you remember last week in the podcast, I think it was Tibor had said that Hayley's looking thin, or
yes.
A couple of weeks ago, she was definitely looking thin this
Very
week.
Very good observational skills.
And what did you say? She's wearing lower cut tops, so you have clavicles showing, so she's all bony. I'm sure she's got a bigger wig on at the moment, because her head looks a bit shrunken.
Yeah, I was going to say, either she's got a bigger wig or her face is smaller.
But yeah, they're doing quite a good job at making her look ill, and I think probably as Christmas... comes in next week, we're going to have lots of line of looks of her kind of smiling, smiling for Roy and Fizz and everyone, and then it'll cut to her like sighing and
Fizz and Fizz, Roy and all the children and Tyrone sitting on the table as Hayley dishes up some buttered sprouts and winces as some kind of horrible problem goes on inside her.
Yeah, but she's gonna try to.
She's gonna soldier through it.
Yeah, she's gonna soldier through it. She's not gonna make
ruin
a big thing about it.
Christmas.
Think.
She ruins Christmas. I'll never talk to her again.
Well, what did you think about the fact that Roy was so desperate to pass his theory test because of Hayley? Because everyone
gets his practical test.
Sorry, because everyone gets worried about their driving test. But it was quite sad, really, him getting so worried because.
He'd promised her he would pass before she goes.
Yeah, I mean, if you fail your driving test, it's usually you can't rebook it again for another couple of months,
can
you?
Well, that's our experience. We haven't done a test for good few years.
Yeah.
But yeah, when we did it...
I failed multiple times.
Even if you booked on the same day, you had to wait about 6 weeks, I think, at least.
Yeah.
If not longer.
Roy doesn't even know whether Hayley's got 6 weeks left. So this is really his only chance. So I hope he does pass it. Otherwise, it would be a bit tragic. Right. And that was it for Coronation Street this week. Apart from, they seem to be introducing the Windass storyline back at the end, because they had that scene towards the end of today's episode where Owen got a call from that... motorbike bloke, what was his name?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You didn't even notice that. He wants to meet up to discuss business with Owen, which is a bit confusing.
Maybe it's all a ruse and he wants to give him a Christmas present.
Maybe. Mm. We'll find out on Sunday, I guess. So there we go for Coronation Street. It's been all right this week. It's been quite sad seeing Brian and Julie coming to an end.
I don't like sad storylines. I don't like that. And I don't like Hayley.
Dying. You do like Hayley, just don't like
Hayley. I don't like Hayley dying. How can you find it entertaining? You're the sort of people that would enjoy watching the Christians being eaten by the lions.
Speaking of Christian, is he going to be back in it next week?
For Christmas, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Turn up and say, I need a bit more cash for the kids' presents.
I think he'd spoil it a bit. Maybe if they're going to have a nice Christmas for Roy and Hayley, they won't want him in it.
Maybe he'll turn up for New Year.
It could be a new year shock. Yeah, I reckon so. Right, let's move on to the character profile now. Character profile time. And as we mentioned earlier, we are going to be talking about the dearly departed Brian Packham in tonight's episode. He was born on the 20th of August 1963. Married once to Margaret Packham, who I think we got to meet... for one episode a few years ago. Brian first appeared on the 15th of April 2010, and he last appeared on the 18th of December 2013, only a few days ago. He was in around 140 episodes in total.
Should be really an exact count, shouldn't there?
It was...
That's shoddy.
Yeah, sorry, that's my fault. I didn't do enough research for this. He's played by Peter Gunn. It's quite funny saying that he's been in it since 2010, but he's had so few episodes. He's really, yeah. There's really been a bit character for most of this, hasn't it? He's been
criminal.
Such a wasted potential. We've said it lots of times before.
He's a perfect Corey character.
Yeah, I don't know why they'd get rid of him.
There's so many boring characters that they have more episodes with than him.
Yeah, and then makes me mad. He was first brought in as part of the John Stapes storyline because this was back in early 2010 when John, who loved teaching so much, he wanted to work in the English department at Daisy Field High School. So
he was head of the English department
and he was part of the panel that interviewed John under the fake name of Colin Fishwick because John couldn't be a teacher anymore because he kidnapped Rosie.
Kind of. They're weird about that, aren't
they? Record.
Don't let you be a teacher if you kidnap people.
No,
that's stupid.
Yeah. Throughout that year, he stayed in that storyline. Really, he continued to be fooled into thinking that John really was Colin, even when he had to go and visit John and Fizz at home because he'd left his mobile at school or something like this, and they had to keep up the pretense that he was really Colin Fishwick. But it wasn't until October that he met Julie when he helped her with a burst bag of shopping. They arranged a date, but that was unfortunately abruptly ended when his wife Margaret turned up.
What a cheater.
Yeah. That I guess...
Seems quite uncharacteristic of him now to be like that, I guess.
But does it? Because the whole thing about him leaving is because he hasn't been able to be honest.
So do you reckon he just kind of... He just was too cowardly to tell Margaret he was divorcing her. So he just kind of gradually moved his things out bit by bit and then started dating other women in the hopes that she might get the idea and bugger off.
Well, no, I think by the summer 2011, he and Margaret had separated. But I don't know, I can't remember whether he had been planning to do that. I can't remember now. But I think he just doesn't like conflict and he'd rather kind of he wants to do what he wants.
Without fuss.
Yeah, without kind of telling anyone if it's going to inconvenience them. Hope that they don't notice.
Yeah. In 2011, he was questioned by the police when it turned out that John was really a criminal and all of his dastardly deeds were uncovered.
Yeah.
He was quite surprised.
He temporarily taught at Bessie Street School in 2011 as well, I always found that a bit strange that somebody who was the head of an English department at a secondary school would then just go and move over and teach in a primary school.
Was he a temp as well?
Yeah, I think so. And then by the end of the year, he turned into the head teacher there. I don't know how much of
Not
that really
quite how it works.
Goes on, going from secondary to primary head. But anyway, he bumped into Julie
well,
there.
Everyone knows secondary is better. Than primary. So if you're like the lowest rung of the secondary education system, you're automatically the highest of the primary.
No, it doesn't work like that. yeah, he bumped into Julie there because they're having some kind of book meeting or something, and Julie had brought Dylan along, Sean's son.
How old was Dylan at this point?
I don't remember how old Dylan's supposed to be now.
I think it was age suitable.
The flames of passion are reignited.
And he takes Julie on a date to the bistro, but she gets drunk and accuses him of flirting with a waitress.
Yeah, he refused to go back home with her that night because she was kind of a bit drunk and horny.
My goodness.
He said, no, I can't go back with you. So she said, it's over between us, although they were back together the following week, thanks to a little bit of matchmaking between Eileen and Dennis. What do you think about the age gap between Julie and Brian?
Is it like 10 years, I think, is it?
I don't know, because Julie's only supposed to be 36, isn't she? 50,
more like 50.
Yeah. Brian, he was 50 this year, wasn't he? So it's a big age gap, but they just seem to have those in Coronation Street, whatever now. If they think the characters kind of work together, they don't mind the age gap.
To be fair to both of them, I think they're the sort of people that look middle-aged from the time they hit 25 to the time they hit 65, they look the same age.
Mm.
And I don't think you notice at all that they're different ages, because Julie's quite old-fashioned in her, you know, the way she talks and what she thinks about. She's very old-fashioned. She wants to be a housewife. She wants to be a mum. She wears retro clothes.
Yeah.
She just looks old-fashioned. And Ryan is very old-fashioned anyway.
The fact that when she came in, when Julie first came into Coronation Street, she was going out with Kirk, wasn't she? Which does prove that age doesn't matter to her.
No, she's a hopeless romantic.
Just cares about the personality.
She'll find love where it exists in the world.
Yeah. By the end of 2011, Julie and Brian were involved in a bit of a comedy storyline where he and her went UFO spotting, which involved going onto the Red Wreck, getting into a tent, which made Julie... get a little frisky. She said, this UFO spotting business is really turning me on. Mate, love to me, Brian. I'll protect you from the little green men. Weird.
The fact that they even have such a thing as UFO spotting goes to show how little, again, Coronation Street bothered to look into what that actually consists of.
Well, I don't know anything about it. What's wrong with that?
What do you mean UFO spotting?
Maybe that's just how I've written it in the notes. But Tyrone and Tommy caught wind of that's what they were going to do. So they climbed up a tree and dangled a UFO down.
Do you know the sad news?
What?
Tommy's left.
Oh, yeah.
Tina's
brought. Has Tommy not been mentioned this week in Coronation Street, has he?
Well, they should
mention
it.
Tina has been in it.
Because I was watching it today and I forgot that
Where's
he wasn't
Tommy?
In it.
Where's Tommy? Why is she snogging Rob?
Tommy? Where has Tommy gone?
Right, last year in Coronation Street, he tried to win favour with the school governors by pushing ahead a healthy food scheme, which was always kind of funny because he was always in the cafe eating his
fryer,
filling his breakfast. I don't think we ever got to see the inside of Julie and Brian's flat, did they?
No,
because they were just permanently
eating out. Yeah.
I think Julie is like, can't cook. It's the only explanation that I can think of, because they seem to eat at the bistro every night.
You'd think that she would love cooking, wouldn't you? And she'd be like, oh, I've made us a pigs in blanket and a
That she got excited about going to be like a housewife in Wales and making lots of nice jam. We never actually got to see any of Julie's cooking.
Well, there you go. Kylie is not happy about this, and in a bit of life imitating art... I mean, art imitating life. She hands out fish and chips to the pupils in the playground.
Which really happened.
Yeah, when Jamie Oliver tried to introduce healthy eating in schools and the mums didn't like it.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
I think that storyline must have just been like pointing out the hypocrisy of schools wanting to be healthy schools, but really the teachers are all there just scoffing themselves. It's a bit like, my school's a healthy school, but we got so many cakes and biscuits in the staff room, and the children point it to us, and we just like go, yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. We're too late to save.
I could be a teacher.
Heartbreak in mid-2012, because Julie discovered she's pregnant, but it turned out she wasn't actually pregnant at all. But when she thought she was, Brian accused her of cheating on him because he'd had a vasectomy.
Yes, but he has to apologise when it turns out they're not 100% effective.
Yeah, I didn't like it when Brian accused her of cheating because Julie obviously isn't the sort of person who would, so it kind of showed that there wasn't quite as much trust in that relationship as
I guess
there
so,
should have
but
been.
Doesn't it just hark back to that age-old, like, masculine paranoia about is it really your child, because you can never know.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Whose child is it?
But anyway, it did.
Ask David, he'll tell you the same.
She wasn't pregnant, she had a growth, and she had to have her ovaries removed.
So sad.
Which meant that she could never be a parent.
No.
That was odd, because
she could be a parent, she'll never be a biological mother.
In the press at the time, there was lots of stories about interviewing Katie Kavanagh, talking about what kind of mum that Julie would be. So obviously she didn't know that this was all going to happen.
Yeah.
It's such a saying, because Julie would be a great mum.
I know, it really bugs me, because one of my two favourite characters, Julie and
Becky.
Becky.
You like it so much.
Both have the storylines revolving around wanting to be mothers and not being able to. And it doesn't really... it's not something I identify with strongly.
Yeah.
That storyline. But it's still incredibly tragic.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what it is about Coro that they keep coming back to this storyline about that.
When they have new mothers in Coronation Street, most of what we see is either the baby just gets ignored, like yeah. Liam, for example, where we never really got to see yeah. Maria bringing up him, or it's difficult and the parents can't cope with them, like Katie and Chesney. But it would have been quite funny to have seen Julie, who would have,
fussing.
I think, would have made a brilliant mum. And
just
looking
been,
at all
like,
these...
dressing a baby up and everything. Like, yeah. I bought him this little outfit with ears on the top.
It would never be.
Do you know what? If Julie had had a baby, I probably would have been one of those crazy people that sends booties to the Coronation Street headquarters. No, it's called Coronation Street headquarters.
Hi, late 2012, Brian was involved in hiring Ken as the chair of governors at Bessie Street School to
that
prevent...
That was a bad move.
Yeah, he hasn't done a very good job of that this year. It was because they had Wendy Crozier, or Wendy Papadopoulos, as she changed her name to by then. From
I like
from
the name Wenzy, that's good.
Sounds
like a rapper.
Wenzy.
Yeah, or DJ Wenzy.
I enjoyed that storyline, that was quite funny.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, he foiled her plan because Ken's now the head of governors, apparently.
Yeah.
Chair of governors, whatever. In 2013... he has to call social services when Faye accuses Anna of abusing her.
Yes. He also, during his 50th birthday party, decided...
Has
an epiphany. Yes, there was a lot more that he wanted to do with his life. This is when he started deciding that he actually doesn't like children at all. He's fed up with it and he wants to go off and do different things.
Do you know what happened to you on your 50th birthday? Tell you what, it would be absolutely tragic the amount of time you spend on your job to realise you didn't like it.
Yeah.
Or you didn't believe in what you were doing at the age of 50.
I just wonder whether Brian should have just gone back to secondary school, because he got fed up of being a head teacher of this primary school only 2 years after he got the job.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, being a head teacher is completely different than being a teacher. And being a teacher in a primary school is completely different to being a teacher in a secondary school.
Yeah. He gave up. He wanted to go and be a museum curator, so...
That's what he did.
That's what he did, and I think he'd make a very good museum curator.
Or maybe that's what he's done. We don't know, do we?
No.
We saw him drive off in a van, and that's not the only thing we can say for sure.
Yeah.
Unless Julie pulls a Tina and spends the next month telling everybody that Brian's left, phoning him up and having one-sided conversations.
I can foresee Julie on Christmas Day kind of sobbing.
Yeah.
All episode.
Brian used to love.
He used to love stuffing. He used to have a whole Christmas pudding to himself.
Yeah. Oh, Julie, I love you.
I've not been able to find any interviews with Peter Gunn talking about
Brian,
so I haven't got any quotes or anything, but a quote from me is that he was a wonderful character, sorely underused.
He'd only pop in
every now and again, kind of to help Julie out, I suppose, or to bolster Julie's storylines, or to be involved in like Faye's storylines. He was a funny character. He was just a bit like lovable, bumbling buffoon. They never did anything with it, really.
The only thing I didn't like about him was the fact that he was representative of all teachers. Ken used to be the one that represented all teachers, and he was kind of like a noble, self-sacrificing intellectual.
Until he punched Aidan quickly.
Yeah, until he did that. But Brian did not represent the best of the profession by any means, or give anyone a good impression of the amount of work or time it takes to be a teacher.
No.
And I think I would like to see somebody like Marcus. You know how serious he is about his job and stuff, and just because, I mean, they managed to write Marcus into the storyline, being whatever he is, I don't even know what he is. Whatever he is, without bringing the profession into disrepute, and why can't they just do that with a teacher for once?
Yeah, don't know.
Anyway, Brian's gone. Yeah. Maybe we'll see him again, but not for a long time. I wouldn't have thought.
I don't think if Julie leaves, he'll never come back. I wonder whether Julie will leave.
She might not do.
She needs somebody to tie her down, and the fact that she's not going to have a family of her own mean that there's not going to be a legacy of little carps swimming around the street.
Little carps.
Do you think?
I don't know if turn out to be a Mary, kind of like the ghost of relationships that never.
It's certainly looking out that way, isn't it?
Yeah, spinsters.
Can you become a foster parent if you're a single parent?
I'm sure you can.
I hope that she does that, because I would like to see her as a mum.
Mm. Fostering is very different from adoption, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess if she wants to be a foster parent, she's going to have to keep the flat, isn't she?
Yeah.
And there'll be a few scenes about her struggling with money, and then we'll never hear of it again.
At least she's got Eileen to have a shoulder to cry on.
Family.
Yeah, I do like the relationship between Eileen and Julie.
Yeah, if I could have a sister out of nowhere like Eileen did, I would wish it to be Julie. Imagine.
Look at this, we started talking about Brian and we just ended up talking about Julie because Brian's in it so little, there's not much to say about him.
Oh, well.
But it started off with John Stape's storyline, which is a storyline I definitely enjoyed.
Yeah.
And
ended up with nothing.
Nothing, really.
Yeah,
that is the
end of Brian. Ended up with the famous museum curator storyline of 2013. That was
the famous museum curator storyline of 2013 is Tom Baker's secret appearance in Doctor Who.
That's
he
true.
Doesn't even get to have that award. Oh well. Right, so let's go on and do some news before we finish the episode. Welcome to the cabin, the news section of the podcast. We've just had a little bit of a break and we're feeling all Christmassy because it was Tech Santa tonight on ITV, their annual charity fundraiser. And we were we watched the first hour of it, waiting for Coronation Street desperately to come on. And when was the first thing on? About quarter past nine or something. And that was the Cheryl Cole love fest.
Yeah.
Which was.
What was the point of that?
What was the point of it?
I thought she'd at least be singing in this bit if she was going to be in.
No, we didn't really like that, it's sad to say.
I don't like Cheryl Cole.
Yeah, we neither of us particularly like Cheryl Cole. And the whole
sketch was just
about how wonderful Cheryl Cole was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really that funny, I didn't think.
Sorry to be
a bit scroogey, but.
We saw a bit of the Emmerdale one and it was far funnier than the Coronation Street one.
I thought Steve was quite funny. I don't even remember what he did, though, because it was about an hour ago that we watched.
That's why we have such trouble with the talking about what happened last week.
It was all to do with Tina secretly being Cheryl Cole's best mate and then finding a friend.
And they weren't allowed to tell anybody that she was friends with Cheryl Cole because of Cheryl Cole's lawyers.
Yeah.
And if I was Cheryl Cole's lawyers, I'd sue this programme for making them out to be horrible people.
Yeah. So they all had to have these little interviews with her to pretend to try and see who'd be her best friend.
And who did she end up with?
She picked up with Norris Cole, of course.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that funny in the end.
Not really, because I was just left thinking that your name's was originally Cheryl Tweedy, and now you're divorced from Ashley Cole, so.
Oh, well. But they made up for it, at least, with the Fairy Tale of Weatherfield, which is what we've just watched.
Now, last time we mentioned this, I complained that I didn't like the way all actors are show busy and can sing. And if I was an actress on Coronation Street, I would find it very challenging to be involved in something like this. But having watched that one, I think I could tackle it.
You could fit in just quite well.
Yeah.
Because
they weren't the best, were they? But they gave it all they had.
Yeah, they did a bit of proper singing. They were like last year when they did the All I Want for Christmas Is You, they were just miming, but they did some proper singing. So it started off with Peter playing on a piano with Blanche
Yeah, they mentioned Blanche. She wrote a little note for him about wings.
Yeah, and had a bit of Betty as well.
A bit of Betty at the end.
Yeah.
And so it was sandwiched between two great ladies of the street, which makes a perfect song, if you ask me. He kept lapsing into an Irish accent, which was interesting.
Yeah, but it was basically, he and Carla started off kind of the sad bit, and then when the
she
happy
was
bit,
wearing a sexy little Santa outfit, wasn't she?
I thought it was good. But yeah, it started off with him walking into the Rovers and then panning up to Carla, and I thought, oh, is this going to be Tina? Are they going to have the Tina and Peter story up at the dinner? It was Carla, and she looked very nice. And then when the happy bit of the song came on, it had Mary playing on the little flute, which was hilarious.
And she got to say arse as well.
Yeah, and the whole song was really well done. I thought it was hilarious.
And as I also said, David didn't let us down, did he?
I think he overdid it a little bit.
No, he didn't. Shepherd. No, it's Christmas. You can't overdo it.
they were all really, really funny. I liked Anna and Owen's bit. They were good.
Yeah, they were really good at singing.
Yeah, they were. They were, actually.
They were probably the best. Who do you think was the best?
I thought
Eva gave a brilliant performance of the wrong song. That was funny. She was humming up. Sean was great.
Broadway. They gave them all the right lines, didn't they?
They did.
The characters. It was very well planned.
And they censored out the bit.
The bit in the second verse.
Can we even say it, or are we going to have to censor ourselves?
I don't know. If Coronation Street can't say it.
We can say Slacky Steph, so maybe we can say slutty.
You don't even know the words.
No.
Junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. They censored that bit in quite a funny way.
They censor lousy faggots as well.
They didn't talk about that.
They had a
we're allowed to say that on
Michelle
this country
Keegan.
Because it's actually a meat product.
Yeah, they cut to Michelle Keegan in the.
Michelle Keegan singing wasn't that great.
I think she's going for a pop career after this. She's gone the wrong route.
Yeah, but very 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 good.
Very
I enjoyed
festive.
It. And if you haven't seen it, then make sure you get on YouTube or wherever you can see it.
And tell us what your favourite part was.
Watching.
I'd like to know what everyone. Favorite bit was.
And also, why not donate to Tech Santa while you're there?
Oh yeah,
as this is what this is all about.
Kind of charity thing.
Yes, and you can help people because with Saran Jones, she was on it as well.
You can help Saran Jones. Apparently, she's having trouble with her heating bills.
No, Saran, we just happened to switch on just before, and Saran Jones was there talking about some Help the Old People charity. So it was nice to see
her. You got quite a lot out of this program, didn't you?
Yeah, and she didn't have a normal Karen accent either. She had a posh accent, didn't she? Quite funny. Right, so that was Tech Santa. Definitely disappointing the sketch, but the song more than made up for it, and I'm looking forward to watching it again later. So on to other news. It was a momentous day in Coronation Street today because it was the final day filming at the old set at Quay Street. I think over the last few weeks, some of the other stars had been tweeting saying, "Oh, this is my final day." But yeah, it's the end of an era after 53 years.
It's incredible.
All gone. Over. Yeah. So
they will be running amok next year.
Yeah, we will be. We'll take over. We'll make sure it's all kept well for them.
Stand like Norris would want.
All over Twitter, there's like the cast and the crew have been posting pictures like, oh, this is me in the final scene or saying goodbye to the old set. It's been quite sad, really. Because they obviously, especially with actors as like, I don't know, Sally Devener, for example, who's been there for 35 years. Every week for since then.
Yeah. And that'd be crazy. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. And I think that
I don't think I've ever spent that long in any place.
That's because you're not 35.
Ha 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 ha. But I mean, like in a house or anything.
No way. There's a bit of confusion caused. I think it was on Alan Halsall's Twitter when he said that I'll film my last day today, and then I saw him tweeting a few minutes later saying, "No, I'm not leaving."
No, you idiot.
Silly people, don't you know what's going on?
You're not a real fan.
It seems like the Windasses had one of the final scenes that were filmed today, and there was a scene at the Rovers that was filmed. Sad end of an era, but I'm looking forward to seeing the new set and visiting the old set.
I want to know when I'll be able to tell.
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to happen. Still reckon around
Easter.
Look,
the thing looks giant. Look at that space on the end of the Rovers sign.
Yeah. So, goodbye to the Quay Street set and long live Corrie at Media City. Now, we've got some good news next up. Jack P. Shepherd and his fiancée Lauren have had a little baby this week. I think it was overdue.
Do you think that's why he was so energetically dancing a jig on the Tech Santa segment? Because he was like, I can't wait for the baby to come out! Yeah. Overexcited!
They filmed this like 3 months ago or something, didn't
really?
They?
Really?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, he tweeted, he announced it yesterday morning by saying, baby's here, thank the Lord, a boy, Reuben, £8.12, massive, was born yesterday night, 22:40, Lauren and Reuben are doing fine.
Got all the stats in there, good job. Can tell it's his second
Yeah.
Who knows all the things to say.
Yeah, so congratulations to Jack and Lauren. He's going to have 6 weeks off work, apparently. So we will have a
paternity leave.
Yeah, so we'll have a bit of a Davidless time.
Aww.
When they move to the new set. We won't get to see David on the new set for quite a while then, it looks like. Yeah, so well done to them.
Congratulations. You don't say well done.
Well done. You've had a baby. That's more than I've managed.
Well done.
Did you know it's Christmas coming up soon? Have you mentioned that already?
Yes.
Yes. Christmas means Coronation Street schedules go all up the Swanee. It's quite good this...
Bar humbug.
But I've got down, and we're going to read out what's happening. It's not. I don't think it's been disturbed too much, to be honest. So this is the UK schedules. There's going to be an episode on Sunday at 7 o'clock, so don't miss that one. Monday, 7:30 and 8:30, so that's normal. We've got Wednesday the 25th,
that's
Christmas
Day,
hour-long special, and I think that's going up against Doctor Who. So
I know which one my family will be watching, and we are spending Christmas with my family this year.
Yeah, so. Corrie will be on record. Let's just put it that way. I'll be happy to see Doctor Who. I think that that's not very good for Coronation Street going up against Doctor
Who.
No,
bad move.
Because Coronation Street doesn't usually ever win the Christmas schedules anyway. EastEnders is always the one that gets the most viewers.
Is it?
I think so. I don't think Corrie's won Christmas for quite a while.
Okay.
I might be wrong. But
well,
BBC,
thought,
I think, has got it tied up this Christmas.
Just stuff it. Let's just put it on at 7 and have done with it.
Friday the 27th is going to be on at 7:30 and 8:30.
Like
so
normal.
Hopefully we'll be able to record an episode like normal next Friday. Because
we're
going to go and
you.
See... Yeah, we're going out to see my mum and dad the following weekend. So, look out for episode 74 then. Moving on from there, we've got pretty much normal the following week. So Monday the 30th. Oh no, that's going to be 7:30 for an hour. So that's just like the normal two episodes condensed into one. Wednesday the 1st of January, 7:30. Friday the 3rd, 7:30 and 8:30. And it's all back
so
to normal
no
then.
So there's no New Year's Eve one?
No New Year's Eve episode of Coronation Street. But I assume that any kind of New Year's Eve parties or festivities we'll get to see on the 30th, I would have thought. I've also got some schedules for Canada, just in case we've got some Canadian listeners that are listening and wondering what's going to happen. I'm getting this off TVOR's site. I just happened to have a look on Twitter
Which
and
is,
she posted
give
it.
The address.
It is tvor-downeast.blogspot.co.uk. So thank you for this information. So poor old Canadians, you've got no Coronation Street on the 23rd or the 24th or the 25th.
What do you do?
No Corrie on Christmas Day in Canada.
Is
land.
It just like repeat of the Queen's speech?
26th though, you've got an hour from 7 till 8. 27th, you've also got 7 till 8. 28th, you've got your omnibus, so that's not new episodes there. December the 30th, you've got 7 till 8 as well. No New Year's Eve episode for you. January the 1st, 7 till 8. January the 2nd, 7 till 8. January the 3rd, 7 till 8. So
okay.
you got a few
Pretty
days without and then
there.
Some days with. And in Canada, they've just had the wedding, I think, at the moment. Kyler and Peter's wedding.
Oh, not the royal wedding. Thank God they'd be very behind.
No, they are not that far behind.
Okay.
So there we go. Hope that's of use to some people to know when Corrie's going to be on. Oh, speaking of getting to the end of the year, the fifth news item, which we can probably sum up in about 10 seconds, is that Corrie is the third most Googled show of 2013.
In
the UK,
is that
of course.
UK, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not number one or number two, which went to Breaking Bad and EastEnders, unfortunately. I think when I first saw that it was number three, I thought, oh, obviously it would be because of all the scandals that have been going on behind the scenes this year in Coronation Street, but EastEnders
if
beat
EastEnders
it somehow.
If EastEnders is on there, then I don't think it's just down to that.
No. So, well, I guess do we say well done for being the third most Googled show?
Why not? Well, considering that so many of the kind of reality TV shows are really high profile online, like Howie and all that crap.
And Doctor Who, actually, considering it was Doctor Who's 50th anniversary.
Actually, is that right? I don't even know if that's right, now you've mentioned that.
I think that Doctor Who's 50th anniversary has been shoved down people's throats so much they don't need to Google it because BBC made it very clear when it was going to be on.
Loads of Googlings, like, what's on TV minus Doctor Who, in quotes.
Also, Doctor Who's really only been on... for the 50th, it has not been on all year, whereas Coronation Street's been on all year. Breaking Bad's been on lots throughout the year.
Yeah, it's been on a lot, hasn't it?
Yes. So, well done to Coronation Street. Let's go for number one next year.
Well, Breaking Bad's finished, so there's nothing stopping you now.
Right, last point in the news, Conversation Street Awards. We'll come back to that because we haven't got... feedback section this week because we didn't get an email from TVOR and we've had a couple of tweets but not really enough to make a whole feedback section, so we'll push that into next week. But yes, Conversation Street Awards, the voting is still open. Thank you very much for everyone that's voted so far. We've been overwhelmed with votes. We've had over 100 people voting in our awards so far, which we're very, very pleased with.
And can you all send us a pound? At least.
No, you don't need to do that. Send it to Sex Santa. When I set up the survey with SurveyMonkey, it said it was only for 100 people. I wasn't expecting 100 people to vote and tell us what they thought, but now we've got over 100 and we can't even see what everyone said, unfortunately. But yeah, you can still keep on voting anyway. And also, when the by the time this episode of the podcast is up, we should have put up the survey for the second half of round two of the award. So that's got things like the Flaming Nora Award in, the Ecky Thump Award, that's Champion, some of the final ones that haven't been in the first round. So if you've already voted, don't forget, vote for the second half as well. And then we'll be recording that episode round about New Year, a little bit before, a little bit after, maybe probably a little bit after when we get back from seeing my mum and dad, and you'll be able to see the results of that. Speaking of which, we're having a little bit of a change to how the results are going to be counted. Would you like to explain, Gemma?
It was your idea, so I think you should explain.
Oh, fine. Okay, then. Well, because we've got so many people that are taking part in the awards, the idea at the beginning was that Gemma and I would be the ones that were deciding, and we just kind of wanted to know what other people thought. But because we've got 100 people that are voting, we thought we'd better make your votes count for something more than just the listeners' votes. So, Gemma and I are still having the majority, but I'm going to have 25...
We haven't got the majority. We've got 25 votes each.
I've got 25 votes. Gemma's got 25 votes. And
we're still only a third together of the amount of votes in total.
Yeah, so we're kind of...
That is math.
We're sharing it all out now. Yeah, it is. It's a third, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is math. That's good. Chris maths.
Yeah, Chris maths.
So... hopefully, I don't know whether it's going to change things or not. Depends whether you agree with us or not. I've had a sneaky peek at some of the
votes. We did try
votes.
To influence the voting when we read out the nominations, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good character, isn't it? Yeah, so as you vote in round two, don't forget that your votes are counting towards something. So if you disagree with what we think, then maybe we'll just have to go with your votes.
I don't want to give... There's some awards that I don't want to give to certain people. I'm very annoyed.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know, you might have to. Right, that's going to be pretty much it for the show, apart from we're going to have another Cabin Extra, because yet again, somebody is leaving Coronation Street.
Just say, no, nothing, no.
Cast news
at the end.
So if you don't want to stay
spoilers.
For that spoiler, then you can leave now. You can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com. We'd like to know things like any comments that you've got to do with the awards, why you've picked who you've picked, and also any thoughts about 2013, because when we do our...
We do our predictions,
we do our award show, we do our year in review.
We need to listen to our predictions for this year.
Yeah, find out what we did. But yeah, if you've got any predictions for 2014, if you've got anything to say about 2013, then please email us and let us know, and we'll read it out in the show.
Why don't you
at
email us and say Merry Christmas?
Yeah, you can say Happy Christmas to us as well.
And we can read it out and then say Merry Christmas from the following people.
we'll say Merry Christmas to you too.
Yeah.
You can go onto our blog to leave us a comment there at conversationstreet.podbean.com. Leave us a Christmas review on iTunes by searching for Conversation Street, or give us a festive follow on Twitter at Conversation Stir, or Facebook at Conversation Street. Just search for us.
And your feedback is especially important in the following 2 weeks, because we're not working. We don't have anything to do.
Nothing better to do. We can read all your emails.
Yeah.
So that's it for the normal bit of the show. We've got our Cabin Extra coming up soon. So if you're not staying for that, have a very nice Christmas.
See you later.
See you later. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Okay, so Cabin Extra.
Here they've gone.
All those spoiler phobes like we used to.
Yeah, well, I hate finding out what's happening. I hate it.
Things with cast leaving, we kind of can't avoid. And now it is the turn of Philip Lowry, who plays Dennis Tanner. And, it's bad enough.
Why?
Brian leaving. Now they're getting rid of Dennis.
Dennis is so cool. He had a little pork pie hat today.
He's been in it. When did he come back? Was it 2011 that he's?
Why did they get rid of him?
What's the point of bringing him back for 2 or 3 years,
there's loads
barely using him, and now they're getting rid of him?
I think they've proven that he can he can be the centre of some very interesting and unique storylines, because no other character that's his in his age bracket has really made such interesting storylines as Dennis.
No.
I mean, Rita elbows into everyone else's storylines, but he's been the focus of her ones, obviously.
And he's the longest running, well, he's been running. I wouldn't say, yeah, he obviously had a little bit of a break in between, but he's been in Coronation Street, a big name on Coronation Street since the very, very beginning, and now they're getting rid of him. They could have run out of storyline ideas for him? Because I don't know how that's possible. They've got, like, those 43, is it, years that he wasn't in it, where they could have
Anything
could have happened. We don't really know much about what Dennis got up to in that time. Yeah. Like, he was in prison for a bit.
I mean, if Norris can have a brother that got sent off to Australia during the war, then goodness knows what Dennis could have in his past.
Yeah, and I didn't mind that he was just having these little storylines. Like, he'd have storylines for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then that'd be it for three or four months. I don't mind that.
Well, obviously they did.
But it's a real shame, and they're not going to kill him off, so he could come back. But
why would they get rid of him if they wanted him to come back?
Yeah, but it's going to be like early summer, late spring, I think. I don't know whether it's going to be anything to do with Gloria leaving, because she's going to be going at some point. I hope she doesn't run off with him. Maybe he's going to be the one that kills Tina.
Shh!
it's a real shame. And it's,
that would
it's
be sad, really funny.
Sad that Rita's going to end up alone again. Didn't we give them the award for the best new couple last year in our Conversation Street Awards?
I don't know, but I'm saying
it's really, really sad.
Travesty.
And what's it going to leave for older male cast members? Nothing. We've got Norris, and that's it. Maybe Ken, but who knows? We're going to know in the next few weeks whether or not we will have Ken again, I guess. But
I kind of wonder what's going to happen with Ken when he comes back, because it feels like there's no place for him anymore. Deirdre's hardly in it.
Yeah,
weird.
I think if William Roach does come back, they'll make another big Ken storyline. Yeah, he was going to have a big storyline last summer. He was going to be all heavily involved in the Peter Pauper storyline, but that's another quick rewrite there. But it's a real shame that they're getting rid of another older cast member, because I mean, especially back in the older days, Coronation Street was all about the older ones.
Not only that, but another character that we quite like that was inoffensive and
funny
and didn't revolve around being sexy and having affairs with everybody.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Brian's gone, and now we find out Dennis is going.
The older cast members are some of the best there. I mean, Audrey we love.
Yeah. I don't know whether it was just because they write for them or because they've got more charisma or they're more comfortable in their roles or
they're more worldly wise.
They feel freer to make them more rounded characters rather than just, oh, look, it's Ryan, he's a DJ.
Yeah. Real shame.
Oh, Tommy.
I have to admit, I'm starting to get a little bit worried about what's going on with all these people leaving.
Yeah, but we said this was going to happen when this new guy came in. He said that he was going to get rid of a load of people and he was going to put people together that shouldn't be together. And so far, it's been completely correct.
Yeah. He's not just sacked everyone. People have chosen to leave, haven't they? Like, Julie has chose to leave rather than being fired. They would never have fired her, but I wonder how, over the next 12 months, are there going to be other firings? Are there going to be the other people that are fed up and they decide to leave? It could be kind of a bit of an emergency for Coronation Street if things carry on like this.
We can't keep getting rid of all these new... And if they want a list of people that should be got rid of, I will happily provide it.
Everyone's calling for Sean to go. But
really?
He's online.
Well, I think he's fine.
He's not had any storylines for a good 5 years.
But he's the
decent
sort of character that's fine to be in it and just appear every now and then and add a bit of colour to a scene.
But we need full rounded characters to base big storylines on. The plats can't hold the whole programme together, which is what's going to happen if it's not
careful.
It's
been the last year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The plats and Tina is the show. That's what it's been.
Rather have Tina than the Windasses, say.
Yeah, but she's going anyway.
They need the oldies. Roy and Hayley, that's obviously going to be broken up.
Roy's not going to be as good without Hayley at all.
No. I really do think that once Hayley goes, Roy has probably got a couple of years left before David Nielsen decides to call it quits.
Yeah.
Real shame. It's
we
not looking
despair.
Good.
We despair. of you, Coronation Street casting.
They need to keep department. Hold. They need to keep hold of their older cast members.
If you would like to consult with us to find out what you should be doing, our rates are very reasonable.
Anyway, that was enough of that emergency talking. Let's just hope that there's nobody else. Let's be positive.
Let's hope that in 2014 they introduce some amazing new characters that they couldn't have had with the old characters that they got rid of around, and they're really amazing, and they're not just boring cookie cutter sexy male and female characters, but they're really interesting dynamic characters, a few good villains in there. Let's hope that in 2014
we'll see,
have really
to see what happens to Cal, how what he turns into, because he's barely been in it this week, as he was just I barely recognized Cal this week because he had that big hat pulled over his eyebrows.
I think he heard you last week and he got a bit embarrassed.
So that he...
I've got I feel good things for Cal.
Yeah, I hope so. If they introduce new characters, I'd quite like it to be ones that are linked to existing characters rather than being brand new people, like any long lost children or whatever.
Yeah,
or...
like what's her face? Tinker. The Tinkers.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, more the Tinker family would be good. Like,
Bring in the Tinkers.
Yeah.
They have got the makings of a classic Corey family.
Definitely. I think the Webster's probably going to be a bit of a big family in 2014 as well, with Kevin back. Big Matt Rose.
Get rid of Jenna.
Oh, yeah. Right, so that is enough for Coronation Street, Conversation Street this week. I confuse it. We're so, like, official.
We don't
now.
Get paid.
So if you've stayed
That's
for
how
the...
you can tell the difference.
If you stayed for the spoiler section, then Merry Christmas to you
More
too.
Merry Christmas to you, because you're more loyal. Although you are spoilerific, which is bad.
Yeah, we tricked you into listening to this. Yeah, have a good Christmas. Hope you get lots of Coronation Street themed presents. Let us know if you do.
I wonder if you've got any this year.
I don't know how to find out, won't we? I do not know. Have a good one, and we'll see you next week for episode 74.
74.
Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
The music for this podcast was provided by podcastthemes.com.